This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's strides towards Atmanirbharta in defense sector. The participants are Nitin Gokhale, strategic analyst, and Vaibhav Srivastav, anchor.
Defense production has grown 17% to a record high of ₹1,27,000 crore in the financial year 2024. India has so far indigenized almost 3,000 defense items out of the 4,666 listed items. The achievements have been stupendous, and India is strongly moving towards becoming a defense manufacturing global superpower. Today, in the program of Spotlight, we have with us strategic analyst Sri Nitin Gokhale to discuss about India's stride towards Atmanirbharta, self-reliance in defense sector. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you very much.
Sir, how did the journey begin in the first place, and how has it been going, especially the stupendous achievement that we have had in the last 5 years?
Well, 5 years are certainly that we are noticing now. But actually, the journey's first baby steps were taken in 2016, when the then existing defense procurement procedure, as it used to be called earlier, where it's a manual for helping the armed forces procure the right equipment and platforms at the right price, is the guiding manual is the DPP. That was reviewed and then amended, under which the government introduced for the first time clause by IDDM. That means anything that the armed forces needed to buy was to be procured under the system of what is called indigenously designed, developed and manufactured category, which meant that any company which was based in India, which had its own original IP and which had also own original design and manufacturing capability, would be given preference in procuring or acquiring new platforms or new equipment, which gave a tremendous boost in the first phase of the reforms in 2016-17. Starting at that point, the Indian companies now started getting a preference, because that was the first preferred category of acquisition or procurement. Earlier, most of the equipment used to be bought from abroad, used to be imported, and the Indian companies did not have a level playing field. But here they were not only given a level playing field, but they were given an additional encouragement and boost by giving them the first preference. If the platform was not available in India or the product was not available in India, then people went to do something called buy global, make in India. That means you bought a certain percentage of the platform outside, but made sure that that product was then manufactured in India under a joint venture with an Indian company, which boosted tremendously the confidence in the Indian defense sector, as well as it gave much more impetus financially and otherwise to the Indian defense sector. That was the beginning.
So institutional reforms, which were extremely positive to give this impetus to the movement of self-reliance in defense sector. Sir, the better coordination with armed forces, the creation of the post of the CDS, the Defense Acquisition Council, and also the creation of the Department of Military Affairs, how has all these things contributed to better policy analysis, or the removal rather of policy paralysis from the government's point of view, and now we are moving towards becoming a superpower and competing with all the other industries or companies in the world?
Well, I would say this, that the defense reforms in terms of fundamental issues like jointness, integration, also having more defense officers planning the procurement and acquisition processes, since we are talking about defense production in India, got a real boost because of the defense reforms that have gathered pace since 2020, after the creation of the post of the Chief of Defense Staff and the creation of Department of Military Affairs, which meant that now the prioritization of procurement and acquisition was in the hands of the people in uniform, which meant that there was better dialogue between the service headquarters and the end users of the service headquarters and the defense industry. Also, there was less time taken by the entire ecosystem to decide what to procure and when to procure and whom to procure from. That has really resulted in what we are seeing today. I would be a little cautious in calling India defense superpower in terms of defense products or production or exports, because we are still at a nascent stage in a way compared to advanced economies, advanced countries like the United States, France, Russia, Israel, even some parts of German industry. because we still are not in a position to design and develop big platforms like submarines or aircraft in an effective manner. Although LCA Tejas is now well on its way to becoming one of the sought-after fighter jets coming out of India. Indian shipyards have actually also gained a lot of expertise to build ships and in some cases submarines. But I will be a little cautious for another 10 years to make this judgment or make this pronouncement that we are a superpower. But otherwise, we are well and truly on track to becoming one of the powers of defense production and defense exports and defense products. Making it in India for the world. That's the slogan which is coming to fruition and reality right now.
So it's make in India and make for the world, as the Honorable Raksha Mantri had mentioned. So the exports have been continuously rising from the current 21,083 crore at present. The aim for defense exports is more than the double, that is at 50,000 crore, and the aim of the central government towards India's total annual defense production is at rupees 3 lakh crore by 2028-29. How do you see it fruitioning in the coming years, and what has been the role of private players in this journey?
Well, it's quite an achievable target set by the government. Like I said, initially in 2020, the government said that by 2025, our defense exports will grow to a figure of about 35,000 crores. Already, we are at about 26,000, 27,000 crores, which means in the next 1 year or 1.5 years, it should go up to 35,000 crores. So 50,000 crores shouldn't be a problem to achieve. Something similar with the defense production, because defense production will get a boost. It is getting a boost because of larger participation and a more enthusiastic participation of the Indian private sector. So far, about 75% plus the share of the defense production is filled with the defense PSUs. But the private sector is slowly gaining in numbers, given the encouragement in terms of policy decisions by the government, more tax incentives, more facilities for physical infrastructure being built in defense corridors, to start with in UP and Tamil Nadu. All this is contributing to defense sector being very positive and very kicked about what they can do as far as defense production is concerned, and then finally defense exports, apart from supplying to Indian Armed Forces.
So how would you reflect upon the fact that there has been a 32.5% growth in the defense equipment shipments by the defense PSUs, and the defense PSUs have been doing a great job in the recent years along with the private partners, and we are giving better employment opportunities to the youth, we are meeting our ends from a holistic point of view, and also we have a lesser manpower cost. How do all these things contribute to a growing defense sector?
Certainly, all of these contribute and more. Some of the defense PSUs called the defense Navratnas, like the Hindustan Aeronautics Limited or Bharat Electronics Limited or BEML, Bharat Earth Movers Limited, or some of our shipyards, they have been systematically being put on the market, in the sense a lot of disinvestment from the government has happened. So as a result, there is more capital that is coming from the stock market, since they have now been listed on the stock market, HAL and BDL, and BDL is Bharat Dynamics Limited. So it means that there is not just incentive, but there is impetus by the shareholders for these companies to do better. Earlier, they were complacent in a way, because all their budgetary support used to come from the government coffers and they didn't have to worry about raising money or about profit and loss. But now that they have to look at their books much more closely and watch their space for competition, they have clearly become more nimble-footed, more competitive and more enterprising in selling their products and making their products, making more innovations in their products that they're offering, services that they're offering, which is a good thing as far as DPSUs are concerned, which means the private sector is also now on its toes, and healthy competition between the two will ultimately benefit not just the Indian Armed Forces, but also the country, because more and more exports will take place, more and more better products will come out of the Indian ecosystem. So I see the Indian defense sector on a roll right now.
So how important is self-reliance or Atmanirbharta in the defense sector, looking at the various threats that the Indian defense and military, from a defense and military point of view, and along with the changing times and technologies that we as a nation face today?
Indeed, no nation can win a war or realistically hope to take on bigger adversary or number of adversaries together if it is not self-reliant in defense. It's a kiss of death for any country if 70% or 75% of your equipment and your defense requirements are imported from third countries, because at the crunch time, these countries might be able to blackmail or hike up the prices abnormally, which has happened in the past as far as India is concerned. And therefore, Atmanirbharta, self-reliance is the key.
So we've talked about institutional reforms, and you rightly said that a foreign supplier could clip the arms supply. How important is funding to the private as well as to government companies in this regard so that their functions are moved on smoothly and the profitability keeps on increasing as well?
Well, funds are always the key, of course. But like I said, if more than that, it's the efficient use of those funds and right deployment of those funds is another aspect which needs to be looked at. And I think defense reforms are also looking at how best can both the private sector and the public sector can benefit out of the budgetary provisions that the government provides. And therefore, in the past 3 or 4 years, there has been a certain amount of budget. And if I remember correctly, 65% of the domestic procurement budget was reserved for the Indian private sector in terms of what is to be bought by the Indian Armed Forces, which is a huge step. Because in one go, you have created a level playing field. I think it's a win-win situation as far as the Indian defense sector is concerned, because of the combination of good policies, good implementation, defense reforms, and forward-looking planning by the armed forces as well as the ministry.
So how important are the technology transfers that we as a nation do with our allied partners, and how would it help India when it becomes even more superior in defense sector, when it comes to in context with our partners with whom we can not just improve our exports, but also gain better technology, which has been there with other superior military powers?
India now is a buyer's market. Indian defense sector is now the buyer's market, which means India can pick and choose what it wants to buy, where it wants to buy from, at what cost. And another precondition that the Indian policymakers have now sort of very clearly articulated is that anybody who wants to access to the Indian defense market has to promise or has to guarantee that major portion of the requirement for the Indian Armed Forces would be met by products which may be having an IP right with the original equipment manufacturer abroad, but has to be manufactured and produced in India, which means it generates employment. It also gives a bit of a leverage to the Indian government and the Indian Armed Forces, and also make sure that you develop an ecosystem around the smaller MSMEs and smaller Indian defense companies who also begin to then get the technology transfer game right by gaining expertise from these technologically superior countries or companies based abroad. I think, again, to overuse the word or the term, it's a win-win situation.
So what are the arms, ammunition, spares, aircraft, vessels, or even the smaller products, the listed products in the defense sector, which are really in demand, not just by the Indian forces, but also by the international clients?
As you are aware, India has created a list of positive indigenization lists, which you mentioned right at the beginning. Some 3,000 products have been identified which can be made in India, whether originally by Indian companies or in a joint venture with original equipment manufacturers from abroad. But even in terms of exports from India, India could export ammunition, could export bullets, it could export bombs, it can do multi-mode hand grenades, it could also export ships, surface ships, some submarines, maybe missiles, and even I would say Shell is looking at gaining a foothold in the helicopter market, the rotary wing market. So it's a list is actually endless. The possibilities are endless. And therefore, everyone is now really positive about the Indian defense sector.
Gokhale sir, thank you so much for making or rather enriching this discussion with your valuable insights and giving us your valuable time. Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's strides towards Atmanirbharta in defense sector. The participants were Nitin Gokhale, strategic analyst, and Vaibhav Srivastav, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the New Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.